Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Now, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, I hope you're not in that lost column. I really mean that with all of my heart. But if you are, I've got good news for you. You can change. You can change today. You can get out of those that are headed for a Christless eternity. And you can be put in the number of those who will be snatched away not too long off, I believe, just to be honest with you. I've been looking for the coming of the Lord for a long time, and guess what? I still am, by the grace of God. I know our Lord's going to return. He promised that He would when He left. And hey, listen, friend, all He's got to do is say it one time for us to believe it. That's it. That's enough for me. But He's told us time and time again that He's coming again. Be ready. Oh, be ready. Would you do that? Be ready. Hey, listen, I've opened my Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Now, some of you Bible readers will say, wow, what in the world is he going to talk about out of that? I'll share it with you in just a little bit, but if you'd like to turn over there, well, look at verse 1, and we're going to see several verses out of this great chapter, and I'm just going to see if I can find something in there to bring glory to God, number one, but to be a blessing to you and I. The apostle, whom I believe to be Paul, gave us a great admonition, a great exhortation in that first verse. That's what we're going to look at. But before I do that, Debbie's got a song she's going to do. The title of it is This Path I Take. And hey, folks, let me encourage you. Be sure you're on the path to lead to eternal life. I'll be back in a moment. Meet you in Hebrews 6.
This path I take. Thank you.
Debbie, I love that song. What a great message it is in there. Friend, listen, we're all going somewhere. We are all going somewhere as believers or non-believers. We're going somewhere. And look, if you're lost, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, hey, I couldn't say it enough. I couldn't say it clearly enough, passionately enough, compassionately enough to convince you to trust Christ as your Savior. But I'd like to. I really would. Well, we're turning our thoughts to the book of Hebrews, right after the book of Philemon, right before the book of James, Hebrews chapter 6. And listen to what the apostle, again, I told you at the beginning of this program that I believe the apostle Paul was the writer of the letter to the Hebrews. And remember, friend, this is an epistle directed to somebody specific. And I'm telling you, it's kind of unique in a lot of ways. It's the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, to the Jews, to his people, to his family. Remember back in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that his heart and prayer to God for Israel was that they might be saved. Such was his love for them and desire for them that he said, look, if I could, I'd be a curse from the Lord and die lost and go to hell if that would get my people saved. That's what he said in essence. But look, let's jump into Hebrews chapter 6 and look and see what the apostle has to say for those his people. Now listen, I believe the book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. I believe that with all my heart. There's application to us and to all of us. We would be wise, all of us that are saved and on our way to heaven, to listen to the message that God has given to this group of people. God has given to you and I. Look, this chapter is so misused, so abused, so misunderstood, I'm afraid. I'll be honest, it's a deep chapter. I mean to tell you, in many ways, it's a hard and difficult chapter to understand. But oh, I'll tell you what, we can be enlightened by the Spirit of God. We can be enabled by the Spirit of God. And we look at the Word of God, friend, we can rightly divide it if we follow the leadership of the Spirit and apply the tools that He has given to us. And I want you to know in chapter 5, there was a danger. I mean in chapter 2, excuse me, of dull hearing, there was a danger of that. If you look in the latter part of chapter 5, Paul was telling these believers, these Hebrews that were struggling. Listen, they were being persecuted for their faith. And oh, may I tell you, sir, ma'am, those of us that live in America. Yeah, I'm talking about the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm telling you, this land that was founded upon freedom of religion, a desire to worship God according to the dictates of the heart, founded upon the truths of the Word of Almighty God. I'm afraid, friend, I'm afraid, I believe, we're facing some very difficult days to come. We may have not have had a great deal of persecution. We haven't in this land up to this point. But all that may change in a heartbeat. And in fact, I'm afraid we're already seeing evidences of it and signs of it in the day and the hour that we live. And Paul, listen, had been writing to those, his people in chapter 5 and encouraging them to grow in grace and knowledge. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18. But in essence, that's what Paul was saying here in Hebrews chapter 5. You look, I've got meat available for you. I mean to tell you, there's some deeper things of the Word of God. There are some deeper places to go in this walk of God, in the will of God. But the problem is, you're still babes. You have need that one teach you again the things that be the principles of the faith. And that's what he's talking about in chapter 6. Paul tells them that, listen, you need to exercise yourself so that you can become ready to take strong meat. And strong meat belongs to only those who are full age, or those who are mature. Now look, friend, let's be honest. These Hebrew Christians, they were under this persecution, and they were in danger of turning from their profession of faith. Now listen to this. And not being lost, not dying and going to hell, but returning back to Judaism, returning back to that 1500 years of tradition that their fathers and ancestors had passed down from them. They knew that it had come from God. They knew that it had been administered by Moses at Sinai. And all this was all new. And the difficulties around them had them troubled. Listen, friend, Paul's got the answer. Paul's got the solution. Paul says, hey, I'm going to tell you how we can overcome this. I can tell you how we can grow. I can tell you, friend, how to be encouraged and how to mature. And that's what Paul's doing in this fine chapter, in this great chapter, this great part of the Word of God. We've got Paul exhorting. We've got Paul prompting. We've got Paul promoting. We've got Paul saying, listen, it's possible. It's doable. Just watch what he says. Listen, he said, therefore. Now look, when you get to a word like therefore or wherefore in the Word of God, you need to do what I tried to do very briefly in the introduction of this message, is go back and see if you can see and look as to why it was there. Remember again, Paul said, I've got many things to tell you. I've got lots of things to tell you. I've got lots of things to enlighten you on, to encourage you with, to give to you so that you can take them in spiritually, so that you can eat them and digest them and live on them. But wait just a minute. I can't give strong meat. I can't give adult food to babies. And that's what Paul was saying in chapter 5. So in chapter 6, he continues saying, and he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, here's the phrase, here's the passage, here's the text, here's the message. Let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on to perfection, not laying. And notice the word next again. We don't need to go back. We don't need to look back. Hey, listen, we're on a firm foundation. We've already made a start. We've got to this point in time. We've made it thus far. So here's what we need to do. We need to go on to perfection. Oh, look, let us go on to perfection. That's the first point. Let us go forward, not back. Hey, listen, I'll tell you, friend, the Christian journey is amazing, is it not? Seemed like to me there's a lot of hills and a lot of hills to climb, and a lot of valleys to cross. And at times, that I don't mean to be mean or negative, doesn't feel like there's enough mountaintop time for me. But oh, listen, friend, I can read on over in this grand old book where we're going to Mount Zion. Thank God, I'm not talking about the one here on planet Earth, but one that's up above, one in a place that Jesus has said He's gone away to prepare for us. How wonderful that is. Thank God. I'll tell you, friend, we need to go on. We need to keep pressing even when we don't feel like it. We need to keep pressing when it doesn't look like there's any reason for us to do that. And the way we can do it is do it like Paul tells us in this book, to do what Moses did, to see Him who is invisible. He endured, Moses did, have seen Him who is invisible. So let us go on to perfection. Paul says, listen, grow up. Paul said, get over some things of your past. Look, there's been a foundation laid. Now build on it. Stand on it. Go forward from it. It's not going to change. You don't have to lay the foundation all the time. You don't have to do those things that got you to where you're at, like baptism and repentance and stuff. Now look, don't take me wrong. Christians ought to repent every time that they're not right, every time they disobey. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Paul's talking about here. Bless God, he said repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Paul said, you've already done that. Instead of looking back, let's look forward. Hallelujah. Hey, can I tell you something, friend? We just started a new year not many days ago when this message is preached originally. And oh, I don't know about you, but I want to get to a new place this year. I want to get to some place that I've never been. I want want it to be a higher ground. I want it to be better. I want to mature. I want to become more like Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And isn't that God's perfect plan for us? Isn't that God's plan according to the book of Romans, chapter 8? Doesn't God predestinate us? Hadn't God predestinate us to be conformed to the image of His Son? Oh, look, friend, the way to do that, we need to go on to perfection. We need to go on to perfection. And not only do we need to do that, but we need to realize it's God's plan. Look at verse 9, if you will. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things which accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Paul said, listen. It's we're going to find out that it's possible, but we need to know first that it's God's plan. Now listen, friend, God didn't tell us that we'd have smooth sailing. These Hebrews were suffering persecution. They were being challenged a lot. They were being counted as sheep for the slaughter, if you will. But Paul said, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Don't forget. Now listen, this salvation that you've got, I mean, these things that you have been given, this new place, this new position, this new power, this new plan, this new purpose, it's God's will. Hey, and there are some things that accompany salvation. And Paul said, I'm persuaded of better things for you. You know, there's a lot of times pastors in churches have a greater desire for their people than than his people do. They can see more potential in them. They can see a greater possibilities for them and then they can themselves. And Paul said, listen, friend, for us to go on is God's plan. He didn't save us to sit and to sour and to soak. He saved us to go. He saved us to go on. He saved us to go up. He saved us to go out. He saved us to go through. He saved us to go on to perfection. And that's what we've got to do. Hey, listen, let us go on to perfection because it's God's plan. And listen, friend, it is possible. Look at verses 10 and following. For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which you have shewed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. How that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hey, you know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying it's possible. Now, I know there are some verses that I didn't read. I didn't read verses 4 through 8. And oh, there's some mysterious things in that. But can I tell you this? Can you just trust me to this? Paul's not speaking of apostasy there. Paul's not talking about the builders being burned up, but what they were building with, those thorns and those things that were not producing any kind of fruit. Listen, friend, listen. Can I tell you that not every Christian produces the same amount of fruit, but they all, thank God, they all, friend, bring forth some kind of fruit. So I'm not trying to avoid that passage because I'm afraid of it. I'm not. That's just not the message. Hey, Paul said, let us go on because it's possible. By pressing, like Paul said to the church of Philippi when he said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus. We can make it. It is possible. If we do it by diligence, thank God, we've got to be intentional. It won't happen by accident. We've got to make up our mind. We've got to live by faith. We've got to understand that we're rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. And oh, you know what we have to do? And we just have to keep on. Look at verse 10, the latter part of it, in that labor of love. Now, I'll tell you what. There's not all the time that I feel like it. I don't know about you. I never get tired of the way, but I get tired of the way. You may not believe it or not, but today in this message, I'll tell you what, listen, I wasn't jumping jacks spiritually before I turned on my recording equipment. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God isn't just busting out of me. I'll tell you what, I've got a job to do. I've got a labor to perform. And because God loved me, I loved Him, and I'm going to do it for His glory and for His honor. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. So feel like it or not, let's go on. Let's continue. Hey, let's strive to reach that place of Christ's likeness. And we do that by being patient. Listen to what He said in verses 12 and following. That you be not slothful, but followers of Him who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that, he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Hey, I think of a song that really quickly comes to my mind. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't know about you, friend, but I don't like the word patience. Listen, I'm better with them than what I've ever been because I'm older than I've ever been. But I still need some. I realize that. The Bible said in patience, possess ye your souls. And whether you understand it or not, whether you knew it or not, patience. How is it? Patience worketh tribulation. Hey, patience comes as a result of tribulation, of the trying of our faith. There it is. Work of patience. And patience experience and experience hope. Thank God we need them. After, look at that. It's not immediate, but it's sure. I mean to tell you, you can count on it. You can live on it. You can base, listen, your eternity. Can I tell you what? God's going to keep His promise. God's going to see us through. God's already done so much for us. It's as if He wouldn't have to do anything else for us from here on in. To where we would walk faithful. That we would stay bold. That we would stay upright. That we'd keep moving forward. That we'd keep pressing on. Hey, I'm telling you, friend. Hey, we'll get there. We'll get there. Don't forget it. It's not in this life that we receive our reward, but it's in the next. So let me give you one more, if I can, really quickly. Look at verses 16 and following. He said, for men verily swear with the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong refuge, a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, though sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is within the veil. Whether the forerunner is entered for us, even Jesus made the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Thank God. Listen, friend, let us go on because we've got a bright perspective. Hallelujah. It's out of this world. We've got to have hope in the right one. We've got to have hope in the right thing. We've got to have hope in the right place, and that's in Jesus Christ. I don't know what your hope is built on. But like another song says, it comes to my mind rather quickly. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hey, can I ask you, have you been discouraged? Have you been knocked down? Hey, have you felt like that you've been knocked out? Well, look, though a righteous man falleth, yet shall he rise seven times. Thank God, listen. We're on the winning side. So let me tell you what I do. Hey, let me encourage you to quit looking around. Oh, we got to take note where we're at. We got to understand what's going on. But we need to look beyond. We need to do what David said in Psalm 121. He said, I look under the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Can I encourage you, sir? Let's continue. Can I encourage you, ma'am? Let's go on. Let's go on to a better place, to a higher place. That place that God wants us to be. That place that we want to be in our heart. You feel that longing? You feel that stirring? You feel that spirit? You feel that desiring? You feel that, oh, that empty place? Well, we can see it filled by the grace of Almighty God. Hey, it's possible. All we got to do is press toward it. All we got to do, friend, is live in light of it. And let's do that today. Let us go on. It's a choice, and it's a choice that we all can make. It'll be for our good, but it'll end up for God's glory. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next time, may God bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.